Hey everyone, welcome back to the Remix My Fitness podcast, where it's all about losing weight, getting strong, and being the fittest and healthiest man that you can be in your 40s and beyond. My name is Jimmy the MC Kim, aka the Kind Intelligent Man, and what an episode we have for you today, fellas, because it's all about looking good naked. Today with my guest Calvin Huynh, aka the only one keeping it real in the game. That's right, Calvin's got an AKA as well. We're going to be talking all things related to fitness, health, nutrition, on really like how to look good, you know, in front of the mirror or at the beach or, yeah, you know, when other times would you be like naked, right? And Calvin, look, Calvin's resume, if you want to listen to somebody who knows about fitness, Calvin has written for T Nation, Generation Iron, Muscle and Fitness, PDTC. Those are just the tip of the iceberg of the biggest health and fitness outlets out there online and in publication. And of course, he's got all his stuff on awesomefitnessscience.com. And you know, Calvin actually originally appeared on episode 48 back in, get this, June the 25th, 2019. And you know, when I'm bringing back someone on for another round, you know it's because they only spit hot fire when it comes to the fitness and health game. If you enjoyed today's episode or any of the other past shows, hit that subscribe button, leave me a comment, let me know what you want to listen to, like Vishnu555. Look, Vishnu's 555, he's getting his question answered in this week's episode. Hit me up on that Apple Podcast, and look, if you don't have Apple Podcasts, if you're not listening to this on an Apple Podcast, hit me up on the social, Insta, Facebook, and of course, you know your guy MC Kim loves the old school way, which is the email way, and that's at mckim@remixmyfitness.com. Today's episode is chalked up with tips for home training, must-have equipment, how much you should be training, the frequency. Vishnu, 555, that is your question that's going to get answered here today. And of course, as I mentioned in the title of today's episode, everything that has to do with looking good naked. You can check out the show notes for the episode and its chapters, so you don't gotta go scrolling around. And of course, don't forget to download the full body home workout guide from yours truly at remixmyfitness.com. Now, let's get to today's show, and we are gonna just slide right into the convo with me and Calvin as we talk about the difference between programming home training versus the gym. Hope you enjoy. Have you noticed you've had to make adjustments in your programming? Because I'll tell you what I have found, and I'd love to kind of hear your thoughts on it. When I wouldn't say like I did a lot of like home training before, so training at home was like relatively new. I knew that for me, like I didn't in the past like home training. I like to kind of have that separation between the two. But more than anything, I also found like I just couldn't do the same things or have the same intensity, because I was worried like if I drop this weight, it's going to start to, like, I don't know, create a hole in my house. Or if I start doing like certain jumping exercises, I'll notice like frames and like little pieces of furniture starting to shake around. Have you noticed like when you program things, like you can't program the same kinds of exercises that you would at a traditional gym?
Yeah, so I can't program the same exercises, but the goal is relatively unhindered. So for me, most of my clients come to me for something aesthetic related. So they come for either like fat loss or muscle gain, pretty much one of those two goals, give or take. And those two goals, what they require with training is what we call mechanical tension. And most people don't understand mechanical tension, even professionals. And mechanical tension can be achieved with a variety of different exercises, and it's not load dependent or equipment dependent. So for a different goal, like powerlifting, for example, if somebody really wants to compete in powerlifting, that goal is exercise specific, meaning they have to practice with a barbell squat, with a barbell deadlift from the floor, and with a barbell bench press. If somebody's practicing for performance, they'll have to jump and do all these different things. But just for basic fat loss, muscle building, trying to look good naked, right? You can actually convert all the exercises you do at the gym to home equipment. You just have to understand the mechanics and adjust it based on that. You might have to adjust like rep ranges to make sure the intensity is still there. But as long as the same principles are there, as far as exercise selection, volume, frequency, rest periods, all of that, then they should get relatively close, if not the same results as they would at the gym.
I'm glad you brought this up. So like the kind of the differences between the goals that someone might have, a lot of them you can achieve at home, but some of them you can't. So for example, weight loss, you could definitely achieve weight loss at home. You can definitely achieve aesthetics, like a certain aesthetic look, and build strength at home. But things like powerlifting or perhaps performance-based, and performance being like more than likely is something that you have to do outside a gym, like whether it's sports-specific or if it is, I guess mostly sports-specific. Essentially, that's the only reason why you'd probably be chasing something performance-based. But definitely agree, like training at home, you can achieve more of the standard goals that most people have when they're training. You talk about equipment. What types of equipment have you noticed that, you know, kind of like must-have pieces so that people can lose weight and build some muscle at home?
Yeah, so as far as home equipment, I kind of like have like a, okay, here's like the best bang for your buck. And I think the best bang for your buck would be a set of bands. If you can get a set of bands that are adjustable, I send a link to all of my clients that are like for some like $30 band on Amazon. And it gives you a set of the bands with the handles and without the handles. And that for $30 can get you some, you can train every single body part with progressive overload. So you can add load per se by increasing the band color or attaching more bands to one another. So that's like the bare minimum that I have pretty much every client at home do. And it costs $30, so there's like no excuse for it, right? And then beyond that, if they can, having a set of adjustable dumbbells would be very helpful. If you have like dumbbells that are strong enough for your strength level, then, and on top of the bands, then you have plenty of equipment to do tons of different exercises. Add a bench on top of that, and you're really solid right there alone. And that, you know, adjustable dumbbells are definitely much more pricey, but for like a few hundred and then $30 set of bands, you can pretty much get near the same level of hypertrophy or fat loss from the gym. Now, beyond that, if people are willing to spend more money or they have the room to and they want to invest in a home gym or whatever, then I encourage clients to get a adjustable cable stack, which actually isn't very expensive. You can get one for like a couple hundred, or you can get the one where it goes over like a rack or a door and you can do like pull downs and tricep push downs with it, right? And that's going to range anywhere between like $30 to like $200, depending on which one you want to get and how adjustable it is. But any sort of pulley or cable system is really useful. You're basically replicating every machine at the gym by manipulating the cable stack and which exercises you're doing relatively close. And then beyond that, if people are willing to invest in it, I also suggest people get a barbell and a rack if they can.
That'd be like the ultimate the dream gym for any like gym fanatic to have all that stuff. One of the things that you didn't mention, and I would love to again hear your thoughts on, is the use of body weight, which is I guess we would say like the easiest entry for everybody, but also if I could say this, and maybe you agree or disagree, is can sometimes be the hardest to start off with. You know, getting someone who has maybe never really squatted before or can't complete a push-up, and asking them like, all right, well, if you want to start with no costs, let's go and start working some of this body weight stuff. It can be intimidating. It can be very frustrating, and you know, it can hurt the ego a little bit. So I found it very good that you mentioned that grabbing a set of bands first, because you can do a lot of like entry level exercises, kind of build your confidence and strength up.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with body weight. I think body weight would be incorporated into that if it's appropriate. So with body weight, if you're doing body weight alone, then you run into a few issues. One is that exercise variety goes down significantly, which people get really bored and then they don't want to stick to the program. And then they end up sitting on the couch and eating chips, which isn't good. Right. So just exercise variety alone is very limited with just body weight. And then the second issue with body weight is that we're not able to target every muscle sufficiently, at least not every pattern sufficiently. So, like for example, it's very difficult to do a horizontal pull with just body weight, right? You'd need like a set of a TRX, or you need some sort of band or rowing equipment to hit the back musculature there. It's also very difficult to hit the lats, hamstrings, lots of different muscles that actually can't get hit very well with just body weight.
I mean, and it's I would you wouldn't say like it's impossible, because you can do like certain like calisthenic exercises where you can hit your lats and you can hit your back. But I think even for like a professional trainer to try to explain that to somebody, even in person, to be like, all right, if you squeeze this, if you retract that, then you can work out your back with just your body weight. I think one of the more famous kind of like YouTube trainers out there, I'm forgetting his name. Michael Chang. I don't know if you remember him, but he had the YouTube channel like Six Pack Shortcuts. I don't know if you
Yeah,
remember that. Very
I know of
popular.
him a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit before your time, but he's actually considered one of the first YouTube fitness guys to make it like really big on YouTube. But he always had these like towel workouts, which he always suggested like that'd be like a great way to work out your back. But and you can. It's just like I was saying before, it's very hard to get somebody who maybe has never really done anything like that before and say like, all right, if you pull it this way and you are able to squat, or you hold the towel this way, you can work out your lats like super hard. And I definitely agree, like the entry to the bands will just make a lot of the other stuff easier to do. I wanted to talk to you about, like, now that a lot of people are working from home, and maybe you're experiencing this yourself, which is, have you noticed that sometimes it's getting a little bit more difficult, and it was already hard before, to keep up with the motivation of wanting to train at home? Because when you work out at home, and I'm even guilty of this as well, which is I'll start working out, and then in between sets, if I'm at a gym, I'm just focusing on rest. But when I'm at home, I'll notice like, oh, wait a minute, like I got to get this done, and oh, I notice that this is wrong, and then I kind of almost like get out of the workout mode. Have you had past experience like this, or have you been noticing that a lot more people are like who I guess a lot more people are training at home? So have you have to deal with something like this?
Not as much, because I think my clients who work out at home, they're choosing to work out at home. So they much prefer to work out at home just because it's more convenient. And so they're willing to make those trade-offs, as opposed to having like the allure of the gym, the separation from the gym. I think many of them are willing to work out at home. And something that I tell that helps them a lot is I tell them that their workout at home should be just like the gym, in the sense that it's undistracted. And it's for a set time. So you still set a non-negotiable time to go work out at home. Even though it's at home and the TV's there and work is there and chores are there, right? You still set that time as if you're leaving for the gym, and you don't leave this zone until that time is up or until your workout is completed.
And talking about time, what would you say is, like, let's say the general goals would be either to, one, lose weight, or two, to build strength and muscle. What would you say is like a good appropriate time that you're willing to that you would suggest to people who are working out from home, saying like, you know what, 45 minutes a day, 3 times a week will get you the results that you're looking for, as long as, as you were saying, uninterrupted, and they are that specific gym time that you give to yourself. So talk to us about time, and talk to us about frequency.
So I think the total time across the week, if you can get just a few hours in each week, like consistently, and the programming is intelligent and you're getting stronger in it, there's progressive overload being implemented, then all you really need is a few consistent hours each week. So that could be as little as like 45 minutes a day, 3 times per week, for just working out on top of a relatively active lifestyle. Or it could be as much as like 1 hour per day, 5 to 6 days per week for some more advanced clients. But in general, just any frequency or any volume of time between that range should be good for pretty much anybody, so long as their programming is intelligent, intentional, and deliberate, and there's progressive overload being implemented.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about this, the intelligent programming. Like, what would, we'll keep it simple. Let's say somebody's trying to lose weight. They're going to work out at home, and they've gone through your list of must have equipments, and they've picked up a couple. When it's time to program, and let's say they hired a trainer and they want to kind of almost assess to be like, okay, is this intelligent programming? Or maybe they're building something on their own. What are some things that they should be looking at so that they are training efficiently and properly?
Yeah. And you mentioned this is for like basic, like weight loss and muscle building.
We'll just keep it to weight loss for now as you know, that's a very common goal. I think a lot of listeners have here.
Gotcha. So to answer your question, for starters, it's important to understand the role of training in weight loss. So weight loss ultimately comes down to calories in versus calories out. So you'll lose body weight and you should lose body fat as long as you take in fewer calories than you burn off over time. Now, training plays a huge role in this in the sense that it helps you burn calories, but it plays a bigger role in the sense that it controls which calories you lose, which tissue you lose. So if your training is intelligent, then you will retain muscle and lose body fat. If your training is awful, then you might lose a lot more muscle than necessary, and you might still lose some body fat, but you definitely don't want to lose muscle, because if you lose muscle, it doesn't matter how much weight you lose, you're going to look worse if you lose muscle. So the goal of training is to stimulate muscle proteins. That way you retain all the protein within your muscle fibers, and they can actually grow while you're in a deficit. So you can actually look even better. You can look more jacked as you lose weight in beginners or overweight individuals. So to answer your question, what would be intelligent training for this? It would be training that gets you stronger. So even if you get everything else wrong, right? Like even if your volume's not great, your frequency's not great, exercise selection is not great, right? As long as everything is relatively okay, the only thing that has to be in place that's non-negotiable is progressive overload. You have to get stronger over time, which is why there's lots of people who have great equipment, and there's even people who've gone to the gym, like amazing gyms for years, and they go in and out every single day, and they're actually not getting stronger. They're lifting like the same weight, they're lifting the same reps. They don't have a systematic way of saying, okay, my performance is here this week. That means in a few weeks, my performance should be at least a little bit higher. It doesn't matter how much higher, but it needs to be higher. So that's what intelligent programming is ultimately getting stronger. Because if you're not getting stronger, you're just going to the gym to burn calories. You're defeating the purpose of strength training, which is the most powerful form of exercise for weight loss.
So it's funny because first of all, I 100% agree with you. Strength training to lose weight and also strength training to build muscle, right? They mm-hmm. kind of almost go, they almost go hand in hand. For people who are training at home, and you know, it's you hit like a button, which is you may only have certain pieces of equipment. Like let's say we even get this band set, and we'll give an example of we're doing, let's say, a set of band pull aparts, right? We're just kind of pulling apart the band, and first week you do it and you can get 20 reps. The second week, 25. The third, 30. I mean, at what point would you say like a certain exercise or certain rep range becomes kind of, you know, not really won't make the changes that you're looking for?
Gotcha. So what we see in research is basically every single rep range builds muscle, even very high rep ranges. And pretty much every single rep range builds the same amount of muscle given the same level of effort, as long as you don't go too high. Now, the question of what's too high depends on the exercise. And the reason too high doesn't build the same amount of muscle is because after a while, your nervous system gets too fatigued to collect muscle fibers. So what we see as like an estimate rep range is probably around like 30 to 40. So if you're doing beyond 40, you can still build muscle from that set. It's just not as much as a set of 30 or less. So for something like band pull-aparts, it's a great example you use. I use that exercise all the time with my clients. What I would have a client do is have a max rep range of like 30, right? And so once they get to 30, we increase the band color. So they might start with something like red and then move on to purple, then move on to black, And then after black, they might take black and combine it with red. And that right there should already be like hard enough. Like most people underestimate the level of like band strength. Most people can't do a lot of exercises with the max like band level, even very advanced lifters. Like if you've been doing this long enough and you work with actual people, any trainer knows that even advanced lifters can get really good results from bands. If you can manipulate things and get really strong bands, double up, use blood flow restriction cuffs to make things more intense and make sure form is definitely strict from the first rep to the last rep. Band workouts can be some of the most brutal things that you experience.
Mm-hmm. Very deceiving too, because I think when you do almost any band exercise, like let's say the pull-aparts, you're thinking like, you do like five and you're like, you know what? I think I could do like 100 of these. And like you go on and then all of a sudden you just feel this massive fatigue and people are still trying to hit that rep range, but you know, they're leaning so far back into the band or now their elbows are like bending or their form just goes totally shot. Just because I feel like in the beginning, they're just like, oh, this is easy. I can do it. And then they realize they can't. And it's almost like a little bit of an ego thing where just like, all right, I can still get to 20. I can still do it if I just do it like this. So I find like the bands definitely will build strength and build that muscle tissue. It's just I think people take it for granted just because maybe the first few reps are quite easy to do. You know, the difference between the bands that you mentioned that have handles and that don't. The ones that don't have the handles are using like pretty much that giant elastic band. We call that power bands here. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, for band pull-aparts. You can do it with the ones with handles too. It's just like tomato, tomato. As long as you get stronger over time, that's what's important. And like you brought up a great point that people start to cheat and stuff. Because with the gym, you tend to do lower rep ranges, which again, they all build the same amount of muscle given the same effort each set. But what we do see is that lower rep ranges are actually less painful and much more tolerable, which is why people can push to failure easier, right? Like if you do like a set of eight on bench press, towards rep 7 or 8, you're like grinding through and it sucks, right? But if you do push-ups, right? Let's say you do push-ups for a set of 40, right? To get to 40, it's like extremely brutal to keep your posture completely strict. Those final 10 reps feel like each of those like bench press reps, but it's endured over a longer amount of time as well. So home exercises, if people think they're like easy or they're not building muscle, honestly, they're probably just not training hard enough and they're stopping way too short of failure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, like I will also say like I was a very big, you know, like I guess traditionalist, you know, would I have to say like where, you know, you work out and then it's like, you know, if you want to build strength, it's like that, you know, standard range between like 10 to 15, or if you're looking to lose, if you're looking to build muscular endurance, it's like 15 to 20. But even for myself, I don't have like a huge range in weights myself, but I can still manage to keep my muscle and build muscle with a higher rep range. So I've definitely become a believer where before I probably wasn't. To be honest, I probably just didn't want to do like 30 reps of something, you know, just kind of like, yeah, man, it's going to take so much more time to do it. So
yeah, it sucks doing 30 reps of like Bulgarian split squats at home.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it. I still would. I'd probably find another way to get that done.
Yeah.
So just kind of maybe just kind of hitting home with everything that has to do with training at home, you know, just kind of like the mindset portion of it, which is, you know, I think even if you go to a gym, it's tough to stay, you know, focused on the goal. For you and I think we have almost the same types of clients who will come see us. They either want to lose weight or build muscle, or you know, as you mentioned, like kind of they want to look good naked, right? They want to have a certain aesthetic to it. Have you found that maybe like that being like the only like the main staple goal is the best way to keep your motivation? So for example, like I know that's why people come to see me, but it's almost in the back of my mind. I'm just kind of thinking, well, everybody has an idea or has a really good idea of what it takes to lose weight, which is calorie deficit, which is, you know, which is either through working out or moving more or eating less or a combination of the two. They know that that's what needs to be done to lose weight, and yet it's hard for them. They go off and they start some new fad diet, or they go out and they go out and they join a gym. But then, like, you know, a couple weeks pass by and then they just can't maintain it. Could you share maybe some tips on maybe something that people can do if they are trying to lose weight, or if they are trying to build a certain aesthetic in their body? What is something that they should also be keeping in mind?
Gotcha. So they should be keeping in mind that this is a marathon, not a sprint, and there's no shortcuts around it. Like, the habits necessary in order to get you your fastest results is still going to be very slow. And if you don't like how slow that is, and you're trying to deviate and you're trying to hack the system by doing like juice cleanses or trying to do very extreme methods, right, that are not sustainable, then you're basically just wasting time with still the obstacle that's right in front of you that you have to tackle with, right? It's like being in first grade, and in order to get to second grade, you have to do first grade work, right? You can't like circle around and try to do kindergarten work and expect to get to second grade, right? Same thing here. There are certain habits, and they're very simple. Most people avoid the things they know they should do, because those are really the only things that will work, right? By physiological design of how humans are created, right? There is no other way to lose body weight besides a caloric deficit, meaning you have to take in fewer calories than you burn off over time, right? So the concept is simple in theory, but the execution is difficult because there's a psychological barrier that people don't want to change the lifestyle in order to get there. And so as coaches, or if you're coaching yourself, right, your job should be to figure out those psychological obstacles and set up practical steps, slow and steady, so you can build the habits that will eventually automate your progress, and you can continue to get progress each week. Because if your habits are set up in a way where you eat in a deficit, you're good. You just lock in that habit and you continue to lose body fat each week, which is why if you ever want to lose, enter the amount. If you ever want to lose, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 pounds, right? It doesn't matter how much you want to lose, right? Focus on losing 1 or 2 pounds. If you can lose 1 or 2 pounds with a certain lifestyle, then you just repeat that lifestyle and you'll continue to lose 1 or 2 more. You'll lose a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and then eventually you'll have to readjust. But the point is that in order to lose a big amount of weight, you have to learn to lose a little bit amount of weight and repeat that process. And most people, they want novelty. They don't want to repeat a certain lifestyle. They want something really easy and they want something really fun. But unfortunately, the process of looking good naked is not necessarily always fun.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this a few times before. I've had an Olympian on here, a bodybuilding Olympian on here. I've had a fitness model on here on the show before, and they all mention like being on stage, they have never looked better. But you know, to get to that point was tremendously hard and very repetitive, especially the eating portion, which is what I want to shift to next. Just they were just kind of eating like this, the kind of almost the same thing, right? Like, of course, they had to make some variations to, you know, as they were progressing. But you know, eating the same thing, working as much as they need to, and you know, I like the concept that of the grade school. I think that makes like a lot of sense. You know, you mentioned about like, you know, kind of doing kindergarten things won't get you to where you want to go if you're in grade one. But you know, also like, I think if you're trying to do, let's say, you know, calculus and you're only at grade one, that also, you know, kind of almost like really you know, deflates your motivation to continue. Like if you're doing like, oh, you know what, I see Chris Hemsworth and he's doing all these exercises and doing all these workouts, and you know, of course, like he's been working out his, you know, for a very long time, and you try those things and the next day you just feel totally whipped. And you're just like, man, is this what I need to take for me to lose weight or to build muscle? Like, also that can be like very demotivating as well. You know, you mentioned a few different things, like the juice, the juice cleanses, you know, in terms of food and diets and habits. we I think we're even more so now, like, enamored with it, especially with people who are working out from home, people who are working from home, because we have access to the kitchens now at all the time. So I've heard two things. Either one, people are eating all the time now because they have access to it, or two, they're working so much that they actually eat less. So both, you know, are kind of will get you a little bit far from the goal of let's keep it to losing weight. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, those are both definitely challenges that people face. The bigger challenge, for sure, undoubtedly, is eating more and snacking more. So if you're somebody who starts working from home and you're so busy that you don't eat, that's generally more favorable as long as you don't lose muscle mass. So as long as you keep protein intake high throughout the day and you continue your strength training and you're getting stronger, right? If you get stronger in a deficit and you keep protein intake high, you can eat almost as little as possible and still retain all your muscle mass, right? It's very difficult to lose muscle mass in like beginners and intermediates as long as they're strength training properly and eating enough protein. But as far as losing weight, the bigger obstacle is eating too much, right? Most people are, you know, running to the pantry, running to the kitchen and you know, grabbing almonds, grabbing snacks, chips, pizza, anything that's there. And that comes back to the proximity effect, where when things are closer to you, you will crave them more. So I generally tell clients, that especially the ones that work at home, to either keep foods they don't intend to eat out of sight, or not buy foods they don't intend to eat, right? So if you don't intend to eat it, you shouldn't buy it, because if you buy it for whatever reason you're justifying, right? Like you say, like, oh, we'll just buy chips for just in case we have company over or whatever. Like, that's like extremely dumb, because the longer the chips sit there, they're close in proximity to you. Even when you purchase the chips, you weren't tempted. Every single day, because they're there, they're chipping away at your willpower until eventually one day you just end up eating a bunch of chips and you regret it, right? So if you can't control your intake with certain foods and they consistently deter you from your goals, they shouldn't be in your home, especially if you work from home.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, for me, like, I will either buy, like, I'm a chip fiend in this household. You know, so is we go to the grocery store and, like, I'm with the kids and, you know, they'll just be like, oh, can we buy some chips? I will only buy chips that they like. Like, and thankfully, I don't like any of their chips. But, you know, when I do buy the chips, though, or when I do buy that snack that I really like, I make sure that, like, I buy it intentionally, like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna buy these chips. They probably won't last the night. And I feel guilt-free about it. You know, it's just, I don't try not to put, like, any negative connotations with buying the chips, because as you mentioned, like, people buy the chips thinking, I'm going to portion control these out, or I'm going to save it for a guest, or, you know, I might want it might want to treat myself, you know, for a good time. But more often than not, that doesn't happen. And then when it does happen and they go through the whole bag, which, you know, I think most people do, they just feel this immense guilt. And then it's this constant association with, like, you know, that habit of, like, should I, shouldn't I? Maybe, maybe not, or I'll be better. And then when you're not, like, you just feel, like, so crappy, so down. That I'm sure you run into this too, but people who you know, maybe start off the Monday or the Sunday really good, and then, you know, as they go along through the Wednesday, then they have those chips that maybe they've stowed away, or those chocolate bars, and then all of a sudden they're just like, you know what, forget it, I'll start again on the Sunday. I'll start again on the Monday. Like, I'll do this reset. Like, have you ever run into those types of situations before with your clients?
Yeah, definitely. And I think what you mentioned is pretty much the solution, is just to be intentional, right? So ultimately, you know yourself better, and there's no right or wrong scenario, right? As long as you're intentional and it works for you. So if portioning them out, if you're intentional about that, right, and that works for you, that's totally fine. If you end up saying, hey, I'm just going to have one day where I overeat my calories with this many chips and I'll get back on track tomorrow, I'll still be able to lose weight by the end of the week or by the end of the month, right? And as long as you're intentional with that, there should be no guilt. The problem runs into when you lie to yourself, which most people know where their limits are and how much they can or should buy and what frequency.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned also about the protein intake. Protein's so huge in weight loss and strength gains and muscles and building muscle. But it can be kind of like tough to consume as much protein as people think. So for example, let's say I'll use this extreme example of the Olympian that I most recently interviewed, and he's consuming about 2 to 2.5 grams of protein per pound, right? Which is, you know, you 2 pounds, and he's, let's say, a 200 pound person. That's 400 grams of protein in a day. Now, an average person, how much would you say that they would need to consume? They're a beginner and they're trying to lose weight, and we'll also keep the figure of like 200 pounds.
Gotcha. So they'd have to eat much less than the Olympian.
I hope so.
The Olympian is probably overeating what's necessary, although he might be playing with a different set of rules with, you know, some special sauces. But for the average person who's not on any special sauce, what we see is that 0.7 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight is more than enough. That's like a very safe target to hit. That's usually a minimum that I set for my clients. And I tell them if they reach this number, they're getting the max benefits of protein. They're always welcome to eat more, but 0.7 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight per day is ideal for the average person. So for 200 pounds, that would be about 140 grams to 160 grams per day. Now, it depends how this person looks, because most 200 pounds average person is very overweight. So they can actually eat a little bit lower than that. But just as a good rule of thumb, we'll just say 0.7 grams per pound of body weight. So 140 grams for that person, which is not necessarily easy, but it's far more doable.
Mm-hmm. Much more doable. I mean, I'd say like an average, like, let's say like a chicken breast will be, you know, I think like anywhere between like 14 to like 18 grams of protein per chicken, right? Would you agree?
It would probably depend on the size. Most of my clients' chicken breast probably closer to like 20 to 30, but ultimately the size.
You guys got some big big chicken breasts out there.
Yeah. Well, I try to tell my clients to eat like a lot of ounces of lean protein every meal.
Okay. What are some really good protein sources coming from meat or non-meat products that you can think of other than chicken breast? Because I think whenever I tell this to talk kind of in this initial talk with clients, they're like, oh my god, chicken breasts and broccoli, and I'm like, no, there's other options out there. So I'd love to kind of hear some of your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so chicken breast is like the poster child of fitness industry protein, but there's tons of options out there. So pretty much any lean poultry will work. Any lean meat will work. Pork loin will work. Lean ground beef is a very common one for my clients. So like 90-10 ground beef or 93-7 ground beef, 99-1 ground beef. Ground turkey or turkey deli meat. Deli ham is very lean. And pretty much most seafood is very lean, besides like some very fatty fish, but that's not terrible either. Most shellfish is extremely lean. Organ meat tends to be relatively lean. And then any dairy that's fat-free or low-fat is going to be pretty lean. So like fat-free cottage cheese, non-fat Greek yogurt. And the ultimate protein source is probably protein powder as far as convenience. Like, you're not going to get anything that beats the convenience of protein powder. Like, if you struggle to eat enough protein powder is going to be your best friend. If you get like, some of my clients take as much as like 2 to 3 shakes or like 3 to 4 scoops of protein powder each day. And depending on the brand and the serving size of the protein powder, you can easily get like 40 to even upwards of like 70, 80 grams of protein in one shake if you just put enough scoops. And there's no like arbitrary rule that says shakes are bad for you, or that if you drink too many shakes, like, you know, that's not good as whole food, or that you can only have a shake after your workout or on workout days. Protein powder and protein shakes are simply just powdered protein. It's a convenient way to get your protein in. So if you really struggle, I would up the shakes a lot.
Hmm. And what about like, sorry if I missed it, but like any like vegetable sources, or do you like beans as part of the protein, or like lentils or anything like that?
Those are what I would call tag-along protein. So they're primarily like carb or fat sources with some tag-along protein. So they're good to include in your meals to up the protein intake. But if you rely on those alone, then you're not going to really reach your protein intake. Like for most people, just practically speaking, they have to eat lean animal protein or lean dairy in the form of like cheese, non-fat Greek yogurt. Eggs is not technically dairy, but like egg whites is very useful. And then protein powder is extremely useful. Outside of that, most plant sources pretty much are very subpar. They're mostly carb or fat sources with tag-along protein, which is fine and even encouraged to have in your diet, but you can't rely on those alone. If you rely on those alone, you're going to have a very suboptimal diet.
I couldn't agree with you. I mean, it's tough. I don't have very many like vegetarian or vegan clients, but the times that I've had, like it's been difficult to try to get them to consume protein without the use of protein shakes. You know, they happen to be, most of them happen to be people who don't really consume supplements in that sense. You know, I was on my family and I, we were on a national TV show in Canada here a couple years back, and it was based on consumption of dairy. And one of the things that they had us do was kind of track like how much dairy that we eat, that we consume in a week. And then, you know, part of the show was kind of saying like, okay, well, you know, Jimmy Kim and your family, you guys are consuming this much dairy, and it was based on calcium. But my point is, when they brought out all the alternative ways that you can consume dairy, that you can consume calcium through vegetarian or vegan type food, I couldn't help but like see, like, first of all, you got to eat an immense amount of food, and but I couldn't help but think like, man, like I replaced my dairy and calcium consumption for this many vegetables, how is this going to affect like my overall looks, my overall strength levels? I got to be cooking and eating this much food just so that I can maintain a certain calcium level, let alone like they didn't touch on like protein or any other vitamins or minerals or anything like that. I just found it like very outstanding to kind of see like the difference between a glass of milk and then like the difference, the counterpart would have been like a whole plate of like I think it was like a plate of lentil beans, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember staring at the plate of food thinking like, no way, no way. All right, well, Calvin, this is always a pleasure to chat with you. I mean, I think it's been about a year and a half or maybe 2 years since we last chatted, and I'm glad you're still in business and still doing your thing, and you got a ton of content. I mean, you search Calvin and you search him up. He's like everywhere. He's everywhere, even more so now, and definitely on the podcast here as well. Calvin, this is tradition for us to for me to provide let the guests have the last word. For you, like, I would love to ask you, which is for people who are now, you know, starting to like this, the new year is going to be coming up for us all shortly, and a lot of the times of the New Year's goals will be on the tip of their mind, but what are some things that they can do now, or what's some mindset shifts they can do now so they could better prepare themselves for their upcoming goals in the new year?
Gotcha. I think just having realistic expectations of things. Most people think that when the new year starts, they're just gonna like have this like burst of motivation and like everything's gonna fall into place and they're just gonna continually get after their goals and like they'll reach their goals by like March or something, and they'll just like look super jacked and they can just relax until summer and just be like the hottest mom or hottest dad at the pool. But to be the somewhat bearer of bad news, but I'm the one that keeps it the most real in this industry, if I'm being honest, that's probably not going to be the case. What's most likely going to happen if you wait till the new year is you'll realize, oh crap, this is really freaking hard. And you spend the next few months just kind of getting your habits together, if you even continue that far. And then when summer rolls around, you might start seeing progress. So what I would suggest for a lot of people is to get a head start now by starting small and doing what they can, not overreaching, right? Literally just changing any little thing in your life and keeping it consistent, right? So if you're not eating enough protein, just putting, you know, a chicken breast for lunch in your salad, putting a piece of like sirloin steak for dinner or ground beef or whatever, and just keeping that relatively consistent week to week, you'll up your protein intake, you'll feel more full. And just that alone will likely get your calories down, you'll look better, the protein will build more muscle, right? So taking the time now to build some of those habits, so then when the new year rolls around, your habits are locked in. You're already used to doing these habits. Because in order to get to the goal that you dream and desire of, right, it requires certain habits to automate the process to get there. Behaviors will get you to your goal. And most people focus on the goals and not the behavior. So focus on your behaviors now, because they don't automatically fall into place. They take a lot of work to develop and lock in. But if you start now, they can lock in by the new year. And once they're locked in by the new year's, then you can continue to see progress. And then maybe midsummer, you could be that hot mom or hot dad with low body fat and more muscle.
Perfect. You guys heard it here from Calvin Huynh from Awesome Fitness Science, keeping it the most realist in the industry, as he said. And I agree with everything that Calvin said today. Calvin, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, if they want to train with you, if they want to read some of your articles, where is the best place they can reach out for that?
Best place would be my website, awesomefitnessscience.com. I'm also on Instagram at Awesome Fitness Science and YouTube at Awesome Fitness Science. But my home base is my website, awesomefitnessscience.com. That's where I post all of my personal articles. And then I also post articles from other websites. And then if you sign up for my email list, then you get updates on everything, because I post quite a bit of content all throughout the week. But my home base is awesomefitnessscience.com if you want to read my content or get in touch about services.
Perfect. All right. Well, Calvin, thanks for joining. Hopefully you'll grace us again back onto the show sometime soon. And you know, I wish you all the best in your future endeavors, because you got a super bright future ahead of you, man.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'll be happy to be back.
All right. And we are back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. And thank you, Calvin, for gracing us again on the microphone and coming onto the Remix My Fitness podcast. Of course, if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to smash that subscribe button. Of course, not too hard, even though together we're gonna get real strong. Let's learn a little bit of control, right? Okay, everybody, I want to wish everybody a happy new year. Maybe some of y'all are scratching your head. Happy new year. When did he record this episode? It is actually the lunar calendar new year. This is something that I celebrate, something my family has celebrated for many, 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 many years. And look, if you're looking for a time to reset, maybe you fell off the fitness grind, fell off your nutrition grind, this is might be that time to reset those goals. Look, the perfect timing, February the 1st. It happens to be a new year, whether you celebrate it or not, it is. And look, any reason to restart, to redo, to get back into it, I'm all for it. All right? So don't forget, set them goals, challenge yourself, and I hope you make this fitness game fun for you. Peace.